Well, we're on the telephone today with Wayne Walt, who is an associate professor in the UNL Department of Biological Systems Engineering. And Wayne, I understand you've done quite a bit of work, research in the use of unmanned aerial systems. Tell us about that.
Yes, I've been working now for a couple of years on developing a research program on the use of unmanned aircraft systems in agriculture. And one of the reasons it's taken a while is because there's a fair amount of regulations on flying these unmanned aircraft systems. And so it does take a bit of time to negotiate through the regulatory infrastructure in order to legally fly unmanned aircraft systems.
Yeah, and I know the FAA has been working on this, and we've had some announcements recently. So what is the situation as far as, as far as farmers are concerned in using UAVs?
The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, has published a set of proposed rules, and these are just proposed at this time, and they're seeking feedback and comments on the proposed rules. The comment period is a 60-day period of time. Then the FAA will consider the comments that they receive in light of the comment, the rules that they proposed, and adjust and modify, and then publish the final rule.
Yeah, and I've seen comments from different factions. Some saying, you know, they're pleased with the way these rules are being set up, and then others saying that they think they're still too restrictive.
I think there's general consensus that the rules as they're proposed right now are not nearly as strict as what most people were expecting. So I think that you'll find that's a general. For those that were watching and working in the unmanned aircraft world, I think the general consensus is, yeah, these are definitely more lenient than what most were expecting.
Correct me if I'm wrong. One of the areas that some people were disappointed in, I think, was part of the rule that said that you had to keep these within your eyesight.
Yes, visual line of sight is a requirement, and actually, that's a requirement essentially internationally. I mean, you know, Australia, for example, or Canada. Wherever you might go where they have a regulatory infrastructure for unmanned aircraft, that's almost a given, is that it's going to require visual line of sight. One of the main reasons for that is for collision avoidance with other aircraft, especially manned aircraft. One of the fundamental concepts of aviation is what's called see and avoid. And so in order to see and avoid, you have to be able to see the object that you're working with and another object that you might be concerned about in order to take steps to avoid. And so the visual line of sight is a proposed portion of the regs. I know that there are interests that would like to see flights beyond visual line of sight. And who knows? But I would be very surprised if the FAA relaxes that constraint at this time. I don't doubt that at some point in time in the future, it'll be relaxed as technology evolves and proven capabilities are brought online that can help with what's called deconflicting the airspace. So in other words, avoiding collisions in the airspace. So I think we're going to be stuck with visual line of sight.
Well, there's certainly a lot of excitement, from a lot of folks about using UAVs in agriculture. And there's also some concern from people who are concerned about especially government entities or maybe environmental groups, animal rights groups, flying drones over their property. Is this something to be concerned about going forward?
Well, that is a that's kind of another issue in unmanned aircraft. And the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, focuses on safety of the national airspace. And that has been an area that I've been emphasizing mostly in my research. What you brought forward is the whole issue of privacy. And what I'm seeing there is that the tendency is to move privacy issues to more of a local kind of issue, a local solution. Although when the FAA issued these proposed rules, there was essentially a simultaneous recognition of privacy as an issue, and the White House did put forth a plan to try to deal with that in a different, through a different mechanism than federal aviation regulations. And honestly, I have not followed up on that aspect of things. The privacy, though, there's no question. It is it's an issue that needs to be dealt with unmanned aircraft. At this point in time, my perception of it is that it is kind of a local issue where local authorities might get involved and deal with that. But again, where I fly out at our research farm. That's where my certificate of authorization is issued for, that allows me to fly. And out at our research farm, we don't run into this issue at this point in time because it is a university research farm.
And I noticed on the CropWatch website here, you responded to a question, can a rancher, feedlot, or dairy legally shoot down a drone flying over its operation? I've heard that comment from some folks too.
Yeah, yep. I think we're going through some interesting transitions here, and unmanned aircraft are enabled by some very advanced technologies that weren't really available even just a few years ago. These advanced technologies and integrated circuits and control systems and computerization have really advanced rapidly, and they're bringing this technology now to commercial use potentially as the regs are finalized. So I kind of think about it as a perception kind of issue. People are involved. People have real feelings and concerns. But at the same time, if we look back in time to when the automobile was first being advanced and moved into society, there were times when automobiles were banned from cities and towns because they scared the horses. They'd backfire, they'd make loud noises, and the horses would get upset. So, that was a new technology that was coming into play, and there was, it takes time. Sometimes these kind of fundamental changes do take time. And I think with this, we'll see the same thing occurring. There'll be, these initial concerns and reactions, and I think technology, though, will help to solve some of those concerns. There's a no-fly zone website that's kind of an initial effort where it's kind of voluntary, but manufacturers can enter databases into their computers on board on the unmanned aircraft, and those databases contain locations that people don't want to have unmanned aircraft flying over their property. And that's sometimes called geofencing, would be a terminology there, where you use georeferencing or geographic information systems kind of databases, and you build electronic fences, essentially. I think that time will move forward with this technology. It offers a lot of potential, especially for agriculture, and I'm pretty sure that people will adapt and will find solutions to some of these challenges, especially with regard to privacy.